Hey friend, welcome back to Bible Tract Echoes. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Mike McCurry, your host. I am truly privileged the fact that you would take of your time, that you'd spend a few brief moments with me here on the radio broadcast. It truly is a blessing. We've been talking this week, and we're going to conclude this week with this thought, the household of faith. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. I'll join you there in just a moment. This thought was spurred by listening to my father-in-law sing in our studio. Bible Tracks Incorporated, we're blessed with a functioning studio. We, of course, use it for the radio broadcast at times. We use it for some of our productions and video or otherwise, but often we'll use it for music production. Now, of course, tracts, gospel tracts, are still the main thing at Bible Tracts Incorporated. We print millions of them every year, and we aren't planning on changing that anytime soon. But God has given us some opportunities to maybe encourage the body of Christ, to maybe be a blessing to some Christians like you through some music we have produced. We'll talk more about that in coming days. But recently, my father-in-law was in studio. We had the opportunity to record some songs of his. Yes, they will be keepsakes, but I also think they're going to be a blessing to you as he sings his heart out, has a good voice. I think they'll be a blessing to you. But while he was singing, I could hear him, even though the rooms are somewhat soundproofed and whatnot. And I could hear him sing, and it brought to mind this thought, something that is always very quick to percolate to the top for me. It's a burden of mine, maybe almost an anchor. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way, but in a way that it grounds me. Maybe a grounding cable would be more apropos, but an anchor that keeps me focused on this thought, multi-generational ministry. I have such a strong desire. Actually, not just about a few weeks ago, had the chance to go with my father-in-law to a missions conference. He was kind of representing the Midwest Christian Boys Football Camp, a camp that's out of our local church, Man Camp as it's called. And I was representing Bible Tracts Incorporated, as I often do across America and the world, and beginning to spend some time with him. What a blessing it was to spend just a few brief moments. And really, in the span of eternity, you know that the average human lifespan right now, we get about 4,000 weeks on Earth. 4,000 weeks. And from the time we left, I guess it was an early, early Friday morning that we left. It took a whole day to get out there. The missions conference kind of started. They wanted the missionaries there on Saturday for an early dinner. And so we drove out there, pulled in late at night on Friday. It was about a 10, 11, 12-hour drive. And we got out there. We were driving our motor home, as we often do for long treks like that. But we separated. He went back. I had some preaching obligations and engagements out that way near Maryland and whatnot. But he went back, I think it was on Friday or so. And so we spent right at a week together. One out of 4,000. It was a valuable week from the standpoint of spending time with family, yes. But also a very ephemeral, very short time in the grand scheme of things. One out of 4,000 weeks. But in reality, it's nothing in relation to eternity. And yet, we've been given this time. I look at the value, the time, the only commodity we can't make more of, right? You can mine for more gold. You can craft more tools. You can print more money, but you can't make more time. So we're talking about the household of faith this week. Matthew 28, verse 19, we're talking today about and asking this question, who are you investing in? Who are you investing in? We can bemoan, we can be bothered by the fact that there doesn't seem to be, and as is sometimes the case, there doesn't seem to be as many people as we would like investing in us. Now, part of that is because maybe we aren't in the position we need to be. The old Greek philosophers, it's a little bit humanistic maybe, but the old Greek philosophers would say something along the lines of, when the student is ready, the master will appear. Maybe that's an Eastern mythology, but regardless, there is some truth to it. When the student is ready, the master will appear. But I ask you, who are you investing in? While we learn, there's often people around us that we could be discipling, that we could be investing in. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19, the Bible says this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, we often call verses like this parts of the Great Commission. And while that is absolutely true, I'd like to apply it in a slightly different way. Though we're still going to talk evangelistically here, I want to ask the question, who are you investing in? I see the mandate, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you. This Great Commission, even the Great Commission, underscores the importance, the great importance God places of investing in others by teaching them. This investment is not just for the immediate household, but extends to all nations. And kind of, it should give us an expansive view of the household of faith. Think about it. We are, if we are truly honest, we can all trace our lineage back to Adam and Eve, can't we not? We are truly not just in Christ, but we are brothers and sisters. Maybe a multitude of times removed, but in the short history of humanity, we are not that distantly related. You say, but those people look different than me. Oh, of course, a brother and sister can look pretty different, can't they? But yes, there may be skin tones, there may be colors of hair, the eyes may be different, there may be multiple physical things, short and tall, and you name it. Even geographically, we're separated. But I ask, and maybe this is more fresh on my mind because as I speak to you, I'm recently reflecting on a wonderful missions conference that I was a part of, the preaching. I can tell you, preachers need preaching. And for me personally, it's such a refreshing time to sit under great preaching. I get to preach a lot, revivals and missions conferences and services all over the place, but it was refreshing. It's filling to me to be preached to. To have an opportunity to bow the knee at an altar, humble myself and talk to God. And one of the messages that was recently so well brought, not just because the preacher was a, quote, good preacher, but because he was preaching from his heart, he was preaching truth, spoke about the need for us, for you, for me, to reach those that we come across. And these are topics, these are themes that I bring on so often, so many occasions in avenues just like this when I talk to you about it, but I need to be reminded of it. Have you ever been in a situation where it's kind of a do as I say, not as I do? You ever done that as a parent? I'm sure I have, but I do that as a preacher sometimes. We all do. Do as I say and not as I do because I'm failing at something I'm preaching at. I don't desire to be there. Whenever the Lord corrects me on that, I feel crumpled inside. I feel as a failure to preach on something I'm not doing as well as I should. I never want to do that. But there are times when the Holy Spirit prompts something to come out of my mouth, it's almost like I'm stabbing myself. Oh, Micah, you're not doing a great job with that. So that's why for me to hear it from another man's voice, for me to be preached to is a blessing. But I ask you, this is something I will tell you I am actively involved with. I do my absolute best to invest in others. I think of the young men. Many of these young men have come to our football camp, man camp, that we host at our home church. And what a wonderful time we had last year, 300-something young men. I'm looking forward to probably an approximation of that same number this coming year. I was talking to these young men, and I'm not an introvert. I wouldn't say I'm an extrovert either. Maybe there's a middle ground in there somewhere. Maybe some of you can tell me what that actually is. But standing there and surrounded by a crush of people out here in the foyer, in the lobby of this beautiful church, and a display is set up there talking to people about Bible tracts and people asking questions, then these young men come up to me and said, "Hey, I'm planning on coming to football camp again this year. I'm planning on coming." And the opportunity to engage with these young men, ask them, "What are your names? There was Ben, there was David, and there was Daniel, three young men I was talking to that day. I think it was a Sunday not long ago. And speaking to them, finding out their ages, I think they were 6th and 8th grade, if I recall correctly. Two of them were 6th, and two of them were eight, one of them was 8th. And talking to those young men and finding out about their backgrounds, what they enjoyed doing. All right, you two are brothers. You're not a brother, okay? You're from a different family. Who's your dad? And they point him out. Talking to them for just a little while, crafting a bit of a relationship, finding out about what they think of me. What do you think about football camp? What do you think about your coaches? Asking them if they had a good time. You know, just trying to glean, trying to start, trying to help a relationship there. I think about the next time maybe I speak to those young men, whether in person or from behind a pulpit. So often we divorce from each other the pulpit ministry from the personal ministry. But in reality, they are so intricately woven together. And I'd hazard to guess the next time I preach or the next time I speak to them, the relationship will have been moved forward. They will take what I say from Scripture with a little bit more punch, with a little bit more of an ear to listen, because we spent 10 minutes, all of maybe 10 minutes, speaking, and our relationship was continued. Young men who I could maybe figure out their names, maybe if I thought about it for a while, but got their names again, and now they're kind of more locked into my mind. They're going to grow up, and they're going to stretch out, get taller, and I'm going to have to learn their names again sometime soon because they're going to change so much in the coming days. But what a thought. Who are you investing in? I ask you. You should be, and we're going to talk tomorrow. We're going to finish up this week of broadcast talking about the household of faith and who's in your household and how to invest in them. But on the grand scale, is there anyone that you have? We can bemoan the fact that no one, quote unquote, is investing in us, but who are you investing in? Are you part of the problem? I sure hope not. I hope you take today, yes, as an encouragement. Be a part of the Great Commission. Use gospel tracts, teaching all nations. Use gospel tracts and share the love of Christ, absolutely. But grow and build relationships as you do so. I'm looking forward to talk more about modeling faith in the home tomorrow on the broadcast. That will be our theme for our closing broadcast, modeling faith in the home. My prayer, as always, is that you have a great day for His glory. We'll plan on talking to you soon. Thank you for listening. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracts Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracks, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTracksInc.org. That's BibleTracksInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracts Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve Him.